the site that I put together for them.
And did you hand out the little markers so they could check?
I didn't give them the markers, but it was laminated, so if they so desired, they could tick it off and start again. But it works really well. The last bit, which is, can I have an accessibility checklist and be done? That's never the end of it. I mean, there's obviously
don't agree with Derek yet, because we had the disagreement first. Just because we've been talking for hours and hours on end, so what was your viewpoint at first?
Well, first, my viewpoint is that clearly you're not a consultant.
Hold it back.
Okay, wait. You might be, but you don't. Maybe don't think like a consultant. My feeling on checklists is, and I see this, you know, quite a bit, is that when people get a checklist, they just start going through the checklist, and they're actually applying these rules without actually, you know, in theory, understanding what the rules are about and why they're actually doing them, and that's the reason that I'm not really a fan of the checklist, because despite the fact that there may be some utility in them, my biggest concern with them is that people will just go through and start applying these rules without actually, you know, getting to the point where they've actually tested anything, or they're just applying these rules blindly without actually thinking about it, and thinking about what the real issue is, rather than just knowing that they have to go through these 10 checkpoints to actually make something accessible. And I guess that's the biggest danger. And some of the departments that we've worked with, we've you know, for lack of a better word, we've actually provided them the checklist, and we've actually seen it in some cases cause more problems, because they're going through and applying these rules, but, you know, without actually understanding what those checkpoints are about, they'll misapply rules and think, or misapply techniques, and so you do these things that they think are actually helping, and in some ways they actually end up hurting accessibility, make it more difficult for people that actually you know, need their websites to be more accessible. So that's my big concern with the whole idea of the checklist.
Especially the point he said about really understanding those checklists before you can use them well. All of us started off, you know, going into accessibility not knowing much about, and we've all got stories about stuff that we tried to do right at the beginning and did horribly wrong with good intentions. So, for example, one that I used to do was back before CSS positioning was really commercially viable on a big website. At least for form layout, I would do a data table for form layout. And I was like, well, if I've got a data table here, because the label is kind of the header for this actual input itself, I'm going to lay it out like a data table and lay it out like a form and label it as well. And it's really confusing to the screen readers, because they don't read the label until they hit the input field, and so you get this data table with a bunch of empty headers, and it's really unusable until you actually try it out in a screen reader. And I think I had to email John and say, what's going on here? Why does this suck?
I'm trying so hard.
Yeah, trying with great intentions, but just not understanding it all the way, and not, you know, I didn't really figure it out until we actually tested it in a screen reader.
One of the things that Derek said via email were some quotes that I really thought explained this issue in a powerful way. You want to talk about your quotes?
Yeah, I guess it kind of follows on from the checklist idea, and really, you know, we're after more than just a checklist. We're after actual understanding of what the issues are, and you know, really understanding why it is that we're making things accessible and who it's actually helping. And as I was thinking through this and sort of over the last whatever number of hours it is that we've been here, we've been thinking about how it actually applies in other areas as well, and how you know, when you're beginning with accessibility, as Ian said, the checklist might actually be really useful because it actually gets you started, but eventually you migrate and move away from the checklist. And I think we eventually agreed basically that we could have it both ways. But what it comes down to is that accessibility is more than just applying these rules blindly. So we've got these quotes that we were thinking about that actually kind of illustrate the same point, but in other areas. So I don't know if you want to go to the next one. In reality, you know, graphic design is more than knowing how to add drop shadows and choosing the right color combinations. Yet somebody who's necessary not ne- yeah, any of you disagree? it is all about drop shadows. But as a for example, myself as a person who's not a graphic designer, because I'm just sort of, you know, you'd say a neophyte designer, what do I do when I'm designing something? Well, I go through my checklist and I'm like, okay, drop shadow here, little gradient over there, choose this color combination.
Quit
this should be,
you know, graphic right? designer.
So we kind of saw it being the same thing, right? Graphic design is not just about that checklist. If you want to do graphic design well, you really have to know when to do things, when not to do them, and it's all about the thought and the planning that goes into it. So we kind of saw that as the same. Similar parallel to accessibility. Do you have the other ones on there?
No, it's the only one I put okay. in. So you'll have to. So I just have that one. You can fill in. Blank.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, the other, you know, I mean, you can apply this to almost anything. I think it's kind of a generic quote, right? Information architecture is more than knowing how to facilitate a card sort or how to you know, draw your boxes and arrows. I mean, it's much more than that, and it requires that planning. And I guess, you know, one of our major points with all of this is that accessibility really is no different, and it's not about the checklist. It's about what you're actually doing at the end of the day, and getting that thought and that planning into it as well.
Creative problem solving, like pretty much any of these fields.
Yeah.
So I found that just a really neat way to explain the concept that both the checklist is important, but it eventually is way more than that. One of my questions comes from, I won't name the source, but they do work at the University of Texas, and it's not me. Why in the world should an art museum website be accessible to people who can't see? And the phrase that actually came out of this person's mouth was, so if I can't make a site accessible, does that mean I shouldn't put it up on the web? You know, why do I have a museum? You know, do I have to close the doors to the museum, the physical museum, because it's not accessible to these people? At which point I gave them a long lecture on docents and how the museums truly are accessible. But before I get into my responses to this person, guys, why should an art museum website be accessible?
Well, I was going to say you can't make presumptions because someone may not see, but they may not always have been blind. They may have an appreciation for it. I mean, I find it difficult to understand if someone has been blind from birth, how they can really appreciate the written description. But, you know, that's their choice. If they can get something from that, then why shouldn't you? I actually find it very difficult to, with this example, I wouldn't really know where to start on the description, but that's mainly because I'm not really into the arts. So.
I'd hire an art historian major. Mm. That's what I would do.
I actually get that question a lot from the AIGA crowd. I'm going to switch over to the monitor here. I'm on the local chapter board of AIGA, and this is the AIGA national site. And when they did a redesign, I gave them a lot of flack for it not being accessible and not being semantic and not following web standards. And the first thing I got back was, well, why do we need to make a site for graphic designers accessible to blind people? That doesn't make any sense. And I'm looking at their homepage, and I'm like, well, what's the majority of the content on this page? It's articles. You know, who wouldn't enjoy reading some articles? And you think about the same thing with a museum. Like, what goes on in a museum? Yeah, sure, they hang art on the walls, but they also have lectures there. They have discussions about the artwork. Sometimes they'll have guided tours to where they'll walk you around and explain the thought process behind the art, especially with modern art. It's more about the craft. It's about the idea behind it. And so to have all these articles, you know, Voice, the AIGA Journal of Design, is essentially a blog. And it's got some graphics with it, but... you know, these are all different articles, and this page is a little bit more accessible than some of it, but, you know, it's the same point. Why not make that resource available to everyone?
Well, I guess the only thing that I would say there is to build on what Ian said about presumptions is that you don't know that, you know, there might be a parent that's trying to help their child or something with with their homework, or you know, you really don't know. I mean, you have your primary target audience. It may be graphic designers, but you're not just, the web is not just for your target audience. And I think we always find that, you know, everything, every time we think we know, we kind of run into things, and we really actually realize that we don't know as much as we think we do about how, who's actually coming to our sites and how people are actually using it and how people actually use the web. Because I think we quite often are, we design it and we build it and we kind of forget that we really don't know how or who will be there, or how they'll actually be taking that in. I mean, they could be looking at it on a handheld for all we know. And even though you're not designing for that primarily, they could be. And so why not make it more accessible? So I guess why should an art museum website be accessible? And why shouldn't it be?
And one of the quotes that blew me away was from Giorgio from Lyft. When he said, you know, there's a really, really powerful blind user that we all depend on. He tells us where things are and where we can buy things, and his name is Google, and he's blind. And that is the one, that point right there is real easy to explain to the kind of people that were asking me this question. Because it gets down to, you know, what's the return on my investment? What is the return on my investment? Well, Google is the return on, and a semantic web, because how can you access the content in that beautiful, rich media, whether it's Flash or a movie or a graphic, if it has no accessibility hooks in it? And so that was a very powerful statement for me. And the other, you know, Derek's mentioning the small handheld devices. When I teach my classes, I talk about what is a disability. And honestly, an old computer on a modem with an outdated browser without all the plugins is very similar to a person who has a visual disability. And so when we design these pages, it's not just for someone who has an official disability, but it actually is all these other quasi-disabilities.
Like technical disabilities.
Yes. Yes, like that person that needed to deconstruct their computer and throw it away because they were too dumb to use it. That kind of person. Remember that story? Okay,
no,
maybe he was gone
about.
By then. That was someone else who told me that story.
You know, I've actually been saying this for years now, and I'm not sure if I made it up myself or if I heard it and stole it. So if this is a quote, if this is uncredited, then I apologize. But once had an argument where somebody said, oh yeah, you know, hear it all the time, the internet is a visual medium, it's a visual medium, you know, hear that from graphic designers all the time. And if you think about it, I mean, the guys who first came up with the internet were scientists that were trading research papers back and forth. It wasn't about the visual, it was about the exchange of information. And so I think that the internet is not a visual medium, it's an information medium that just happens to be most commonly accessed in a visual form, like a GUI browser. And so if you can get that across to people's heads that it works on this, it works on this, it works on my phone, it works on, you know, it works for Google, it works on a screen reader, then people kind of really start to get that it's about the information itself and not the graphics that are in front of that information or tied in with that information.
And I predict the handheld market is just going to explode as the price points come down, as we start to get convergence, and it really will be a business reason to do it. So we just happen to be ahead of the game. So you can turn to us for answers to this.
One of those early people was actually deaf, dude.
Uh-huh.
That had a lot to do with the invention of email and chat.
Now,
really?
Now was that the guy that wrote Emacs Speak?
No, it was Vint Cerf. One of the people early on the ARPANET.
No,
he would be a blind guy.
And kind of segueing into my personal struggle, I'm working with a startup company right now, and the gentlemen are former Disney animators. And so the kind of content that we're working with is extremely rich media. And we're working off venture capital, and we only have X until venture capital runs out and we have to be profitable. And so I've talked to them about accessibility, but how many times were we working till 3 o'clock in the morning, or it was you know, an hour before the go live demonstration that we finished the product. And I didn't have time to transcribe the video and synchronize it and run it through high caption. So it is hard for me as an accessibility evangelist. How can I call myself the web accessibility goddess when I've got some content out there it's not accessible?
I'm sure we've all got a dirty little secret.
Is that my dirty secret?
So what are yours?
So any comments? Because, you know, what I said to James was, I'm going to do it for free. I'm going to do the first round for free as my gift to the startup company. Because at that point, I can truly document what it's going to take me to make that product accessible. And then I can also show them how the education market that they're aiming for will greatly appreciate the accessibility.
I'd like to clarify my response to this. You're doing that for free? Why are you devaluing yourself?
I know. He's like, don't do that.
And she said, no, just this one line item in the whole project. I'm doing free. I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm being treated like a princess on that project. So it's like, you know, it's like a gift back for the magic carpet ride. In comments, huh? Are you talking about me?
No, we're just saying princess, goddess. what's next? It's funny because I've just recently finished up a contract with a startup who's on VC, and it's kind of a similar situation, although it's not Rich Media. And you know, the strategy that I used with them was I didn't convince them, I just did it. And they didn't know any better. And, I didn't try to sell them standards. I just did it. And I said, oh, by the way, this is just how we do things now. And so in terms of spending their precious resources, they were already spending them anyway. So it was a little bit different situation, but at the same time, you know, it was great to, at the end of the day, to be able to say to them, oh, by the way, here's some of the other things that I can do with your site. You know, they were amazed to see rollovers happen when they actually tabbed through things, and they're like, oh my god, I can't believe you can do that.
So helpful.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all reskinnable, and that was actually a big business value thing to them, because they sell their software to a big provider who then sells it or rents it or whatever they do, and they rebrand it for all these other people. So it's kind of like, oh, by the way, that skinnable thing that you were looking for, that can happen now. And so they're pretty pleased with that. So, you know, I don't even know if I would bother trying to convince them of anything. I would just do it, sneak it in under the radar, and this is just the way that it's done now.
Yeah.
We kind of do that at Frog too. Any new client site that we work on, if we're actually building the site out ourselves, we're going to make it standards compliant and accessible at least as much as possible. Sometimes the client will ask for something, and then we'll have to go back and say, well, if you do this, you're going to be sacrificing these other things, and we'll kind of talk it out and explain it more then. But we don't even mention it until something comes up. It's just part of the process now.
So what happens after the handover? Have you got some kind of support?
It stays
intact?
It depends on the project. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I found those answers very interesting, and they remind me a lot of what John Slayton tells me as well. You know, it just is. And so I still struggle with it, but I'll agree, they're right. I'm looking at time, and I'm thinking, should we handle this question, or should we go to the alt text game show? What do you think, James?
Let's go to the game.
Let's go to the game show. Okay. One of my favorite things that I've learned from John Slayton is the art of alt. Alting an image is not simple, and the first time that we sit down to write alt, sometimes we do a pretty hilarious job of it. And so what we thought we would do here is actually run a little game show where I'm going to show these gentlemen an image, and they're going to write alt, and they're not going to cheat and look at each other's alt, and they have not discussed this image, right, guys? Do I have to change the image? And then y'all are going to judge which one of them has the best alt. So they have their markers, and they have their pieces of paper, so they can't change their mind, okay? All right, ready? Okay, right? All right, here's the first image.
Oh,
You didn't get to see that on your BlackBerry, did
no.
you? Someone want to hum the tune to Jeopardy?
Oh God, we're running out of time.
It's okay, Derek. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
I'm changing it.
It's all right. It's all right. You can crumple up paper and throw it. I gave you extras.
I quit.
Oh, that's good.
Songs ended, guys.
The songs ended.
Come on here.
Sorry.
Last word.
I'm going to leave the controversial one for last. Sorry, James.
Not my alt text controversial, not me.
Yeah.
I wrote Yosemite Valley from the west, showing El Capitan and the Cathedral Peaks. A lone tree points above the horizon.
Isn't that wonderful? Okay, now don't respond. We need to listen to them all.
I've been there. I knew it was Yosemite.
I was impressed that he knew that. Yes. Ian?
I wrote, black and white image of a valley with a lone tree in the foreground. I couldn't actually see the caption very clearly, so, my defense.
Maybe you were Yosemite kind of Valley, visually impairment. Yeah. It actually is Yosemite Valley?
It says, from the Mariposa Trail. Yes, that is hiking trail.
Derek?
I ran out of time, so I went with alt equals quote, quote.
I disagree.
wait.
I agree with you disagreeing.
I'd like to hear a round of applause for who would go with the alt equals quote, quote is what you would want for this image. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And then we have James here with Yosemite Valley from the west, showing El Capitan and Cathedral Peaks. A lone tree points above the horizon. Applause. Okay. And Ian, black and white image of a valley with a lone tree in the foreground.
Y'all missed the human being leaping against the tree.
We did. Joe might truly be the best alt text writer in the world, or so I've heard.
She's heard that from Joe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So did you write alt text for this? Because I bet you did.
Well, no. See, I'm doing my live blog.
Okay. Well.
Photo shows in black and white a lone tree in a denuded forest in the caption the valley from the Mariposa Trail. A human figure leans against the bottom of the tree whose trunk has no branches to the very top.
I'd go for that for long dusk. But I too would agree that...
I think that's the minimum necessary.
Minimum necessary. Okay.
I think... Go ahead.
Why is the caption different from the description, the alt text?
You know, I didn't even notice the caption, the alt text down there.
James is being creative.
Right.
If the caption's embedded in the image, shouldn't it be the same as the alt text?
That is very true, especially if the image is in context. And so now I'm going to ask that you gentlemen look at this image in context and tell me, would your alt change?
What's the blurb there?
The blurb is early landscape photography of the American West. I'm not going to read the whole blurb.
Does it describe that picture at all?
234 large prints from the 1860s and 1870s of American Western landscape, blah, blah. What is that?
Are we doing this again?
Yeah. You're done?
I'm done too, and I don't care if anybody agrees with me.
All right, so did you change yours, Ian?
Nothing.
Okay, we have absolutely nothing. Not even an alt equals quote.
Oh, no, sorry. Alt equals quote.
Okay,
that depends on the technology. Is that an HTML page? You said we weren't going to talk about code.
Oh, sorry. You're going to call me on that, aren't you? You agreed to this game, and yours didn't change.
No, it's blank.
Oh, it's blank. All secrets, quote. Okay, and? Yes? Oh, you actually wrote something
here. Well, no, I wrote this before and then I ran out of time, but I think now that in context, I'm, and the fact that I got one person clapping for me, I would change my answer to something other than alt equals quote quote now, because despite the fact that there is text on the screen there, it doesn't really have anything. The image is not being described in that text in any way, shape, or form. Really, the text is describing the collection. So, with context now, I don't know what I would write, but it's certainly, I don't know if it would be alt equals quote quote
anymore.
Yeah,
you use that caption.
And I would use the caption because I know that it is a clickable photo that takes you into the early landscape photography of the American West. And so for me, it would become functional.
What does the caption say?
There really isn't a description of the image.
It's the title of the link.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I do have an example that I'd like to show. This is one that I've spent too much time on over the past couple years. We've got some similar things on the AIJ Austin site. And it's got images. For those of you that can see the screen, it's got images with a title link and the short description here, similar to how the other one is. In this one, the images are all alt equals quote quote because they're contained within that link. And so the actual link is, you know, Hammer Time Happy Hour. Come to it on Tuesday, by the way.
Right.
Shameless
promotions
plug.
In the middle of our panel?
Shameless plug. But it's the same thing. Like, to me, that's part of that link, and that's how I would do it. As a graphic designer, I would make that a larger clickable area, but I wouldn't put two links to the same place back to back.
Right.
They should be part of the same link, in my opinion, or it would be redundant.
And I so agree with you. And on the UT homepage, the designer wouldn't let those two images be. I think they're in two table cells. Oh my God. And so, literally, I've got. I know!
Evil. You could link the whole table.
I've got the eye candy picture over here, table cell, and the link here. And so, the eye candy picture, because it also is a link, because regular sighted users will click on it as well. And so, I've got redundant links. And it's very embarrassing. So, we do need to redesign our site.
We're going to get there.
We will. It's starting to be on the drawing board.
In our lifetime.
Now that you've seen that there is an art to alt, Ian came up with this image and some of the interesting conclusions for alt that they had on it. And I was going to test the audience. It helps if I'm in charge.
I'm looking here. This is great.
So here is an image. Can anyone tell me what they think it is? Petty Force? Mm-hmm. And so any ideas for what your alt would be? Kathy?
Depends on the content on the page,
but I don't know, Petty Force.
Without context, what would your alt be for the image, if the image were a useful image that needed to be described on a page?
We got one over here.
Three petaphors. Yes, over here.
Lemon, chocolate, strawberry, pencil. There you go.
Yeah, I like that.
Anybody else?
Those are...
Rhodes?
Flavor? Eye candy.
Love it. I would vote for that. It's just funny. Okay. Now let's look at it in context. Okay, so here we are on Ian's work site. Okay. And Ian, tell us a little bit about the graphic and what it's being used for and some of the debate that came about for the alt.
Well, the problem is that this is built using a content management system, and one of the guys that tends to update the homepage tried to make it a bit easier for other people to create the correct alt attribute. And if you see on the screen, there's also a few links there, more info, apply now. And because out of context those links don't mean anything, you need something else. So there's a title attribute on each. So it would be more info about da 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 da, and apply now for da 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 da. And that information is automatically generated. So it feeds in to create the alt attribute for the image and those links. I had a question. Someone came to me and said, is this the right alt attribute? Because they said...
But before you tell them what that alt attribute is...
Oh, sorry, I'm going to give a game away.
let's poll the audience for what I think it should be.
What would you make the alt now? Yes?
Well, actually, you wrote mine originally, but it said three petaphors.
Uh-huh.
Three petaphors ranging from yellow, brown, to pink. So it still falls within the categories of what the types of languages.
Gotcha.
Now, the image is a clickable link as well.
It is clickable. And where does it take
you? Information about mortgages.
I'd label it.
Mortgages.
Yes! And I'd probably label it mortgage information or the title of whatever the page is, because when you're doing the listening to links alphabetically, information is such a nothing word.
But the interesting thing is that the person who came up to me and said, oh, I'm not sure if we've got this quite right, because where the guy had done this automated thing that created the alt attribute, they were saying more information about nationwide mortgage. Is that correct? Shouldn't we be describing these cakes? And I had to sort of, you know, it's like they've taken everything too literally. They followed the rules. Oh, we have to describe every image. Mm-hmm.
You gave him the checklist, though, didn't you?
Right.
Back to Derek's point.
So amazing.
Yeah, the fight will be outside in about 5 minutes.
We'll take this outside.
So, to end our presentation today, I just wanted to say that accessible websites are just so visually boring. Is that true?
I think you're nuts.
Am I nuts?
Now it depends. Did a designer who does accessibility do work on it, or did an accessibility person who does design work
on it? Ouch! So if I were looking for some good examples of design, our conversations were a little challenging, because every time you pull up a site and say, this is an example of good design and good accessibility, you know, it's not perfect, okay? But these are really good examples, even if they're not 100% perfect. So, James, do you want to take us through the Zoot Suit culture and the American presidency and tell us a little bit about the Unlock Sculpture Garden?
Looks like we're only getting part of my screen. So. Oh, it's tracking.
You know, we could
switch it back
me
down to 800 by 600.
Can you handle that as a designer? Is that going to hurt?
That's fine.
Okay.
Or we can...
It's only temporary.
It's only temporary. Really. 5 minutes.
I'm gonna have to apologize for using IE here, because my my copy of Firefox is corrupt, so I'll be hassling John Hicks about that after the panel. Because it's all his fault, obviously.
It's all bad. It's clearly the logo's fault.
Yes.
That I'm saying is accessible, and I got music playing, and I'm trying to listen to Jaws at the same time. Would you please turn the music off, James? Oh! I've listened to this site in Jaws. Back when the debates were, can Flash be accessible? And I was being told no. But thanks to people like, Bob Regan, Flash really is accessible. And this is a fabulous site to go look at, as well as go to Macromedia. Look at Flash. Look at all their documentation. They have fabulous online documentation. This site is incredible. It has music. It has links. It has videos that are captioned. I love it.
I'm going to have to interject here, and I won't go as far as saying I disagree, but I would not agree that Flash is as accessible as a plain text or HTML page. It's not there yet. It's getting much, much better thanks to this guy and his team. And in the certain circumstances, it's very accessible. Other circumstances, it's not quite so. But it is getting better, and they're working towards working out all the kinks of it. And so I don't know that I would say very accessible, but mostly. How about that?
Okay.
I'll disagree with you on that point.
The fact that I'm working in a world where all of a sudden Flash isn't just for Flash's sake, it's not eye candy, it's actually being used, I think, for, you know, God's intended purpose for Flash.
God essence.
God essence intended.
You mean Bob's intended purpose for Flash?
You know, it's It is my tool of choice. It is the interface that we're using, so I'm thrilled
so
that
there. In this room, you can learn more about that.
I can learn more about that. That's right.
And I will agree with her on this. That is certainly the best option for this particular site and several others that I've seen that have done Flash accessibility well.
But be careful when you pick Flash. Don't just pick it to be flashy. That's tacky. It's very tacky.
Tab through.
The American. Yeah, you want to show them that. And I think we've got like 3 more minutes.
What should I hit?
You know, let's just let them go on their own. Let's go to the American presidency real quick.
We will probably post these URLs online sometime today or tomorrow.
Yeah. That's a lot of pressure.
I'll do it on my blog.
You can blog it. Yeah. I'll blog it.
Yeah.
Ian can blog it.
Boxofchocolates.ca.
Accessify.com.
Nobility.org.
Nobility.org. That's K-N-O-W.
Ability. K-N-O-W. That Umalov site, they use some JavaScript that they've made accessible by adding the text on the page, and it's really impressive.
You're jumping ahead.
Come up here.
What's the other one you wanted? Let me just talk about American Presidency, and then we'll just get the... What I love about the American Presidency site, if you go there, is that... this site was built with Flash and videos that have been captioned, and it is a collection of photographs. If you go to the photojournalist link, it's a collection of photographs that the University of Texas just received from...
He's not listening.
Click on photojournalist for me. From these famous photographers of... six presidencies, and the university now owns this collection. Well, we could have put it in a room in a box where you'd have to have armed guards to go see it, but instead they digitized it, and they did an excellent job of alting the images. I was just, you know, and they have come back. They competed in AIR. They got an honorable mention in AIR, and then we gave them another report for things that they can improve, and when I went back to check the other night, they'd done every single one of those things. And so I'm absolutely thrilled with the work here and highly recommend it as a site to go, you know, learn from. And the Umlauf Sculpture Garden, which was also the Accessibility Internet Rally competition site, so a site that was built in 8 hours, show us some amazing things that were done there.
Make the disclaimer that this one was done by Frog, but not me. It's a really good site, but I can't take credit for it. Like I can for all of frogdesign.com.
Right. That's right. You are Frog Design.
So this is the one that we showed earlier. It's actually got some Flash in that loads up some eye candy. It'll take a little second here. There you go. And so essentially this becomes just eye candy of the sculpture, the 3D panoramic view of the sculpture, and there is no, as far as I remember, there is no accessibility information built into this Flash piece because the description and dimensions and information about that is already readily available on the page.
Really well done.
Yeah. So all the sites that we pointed out have their own issues. I mean, considering this one was built in 8 hours, I think it's pretty damn good.
It's amazing for 8 hours.
It's over 100 pages.
So what's your excuse, right? No. go make your sites accessible. Sorry, I should have said that nicer, right? And what I would say is that what you've heard today is that people that live accessibility have things that they agree and disagree on, but when it comes down to the real basics, we agree. Your sites should be accessible. They should follow standards. We may agree or disagree on the exact standard to follow, but we care about the end result, that it truly is accessible. And if you'd like to ask us questions, then join us at the Nobility booth. And you know, you too can pick up and meet new people by adding your "I'm accessible" tattoo
pick
to your arm.
Your
it's a great way to pick up a new friend.
Pick up. Now I understand.
That'll be on the trade show floor. The trade show opens at noon today, and it's the center one with the big blue column in the middle.
Thank you so much.